If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Did you know that 9 out of 10 women lack dominance of L. crispatus, which is why many endure ongoing vaginal discomfort? That's why one of my absolute favorite supplement companies, Seed, created VS01 Vaginal Symbiotic to restore a healthy vaginal microbiome and sustain regulated pH levels. After using VS01 for just a couple months, I've noticed a difference. Other products out there often target only symptoms in ways that further disturb the microbiome, which is so important, just like your gut microbiome. VS01 marks a new era in vaginal care with a sustainable approach to address the root cause of imbalances. This is an ongoing system that maximizes efficacy with minimal impact on your day-to-day life. Shift from harsh reactive treatments to proactive sustainable care with VS01 from Seed. Go to seed.com/heartbreak and use code 25heartbreak to get 25% off. That's 25% off VS01 at seed.com/heartbreak, code 25heartbreak. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to a listener episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today, I have Caitlin on the show. Loved talking to her. This was a really meaningful listener episode. Caitlin shares her story about after coming out of a 17-year marriage, she got into a very beautiful, loving relationship of 5 months. And one day in the middle of her work week, got a text that said, "I can't do this anymore." And that was it, never to be heard from again. And in this episode, we talk like it's okay to fall apart. It's okay to be broken. Healing doesn't have to be this glamorized thing where you're, you know, finding the blessing in disguise and working out and doing all the things that you maybe see on social media. It's okay to just be broken for a while. And it's okay to just be sad. We talk about how there can be a lot of different ands in a breakup. They can be hurtful, but and also be a very kind and loving person still. The thing we discuss is sometimes it's hard to just accept a situation as sad. So sometimes we search for anger, we search for meaning, we search for things because we don't just want to be sad about something. So Caitlin was so beautiful and raw and honest, and I really like talking to her, and I can't wait to hear how it impacts you guys as well. Welcome, Caitlin, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. I love my listener episodes, so always very grateful for people who want to come on and share their story. So thank you for being on here.
Thank you for inviting me. Your podcast has meant a lot. It's been kind of a touchstone since my most recent breakup.
Well, thank you. It's always very flattering to hear. So can you tell me a little bit about, I guess, the breakup that led you to the podcast, or and give like a Cliff Notes version of the relationship, and, you know, let's take it to right before the breakup.
Sure. So this actually wasn't a long-term relationship as some people might think, you know, somebody who felt heartbroken enough to mourn it for months on end and then talk about it on a podcast. It was only a 5-month relationship. And I'm 45 years old and I was married for 17 years. So I've been around, as they say, this ain't my first rodeo. However, this one really it was really quite devastating to me. Our relationship was really beautiful. It was unlike anything I have ever experienced. We met online. We met on Bumble. It was rather unexpected, even though that's the sole purpose of being on Bumble. We both were shocked to have met one another, and there was just an immediate recognition, a kinship. It was instantaneous, a comfort level, an adoration, and a friendship. So from the moment we met, it just seemed really obvious, and that was kind of a thing we would often joke about or tell our friends and family about. Oh, they're obvious. He is my, of course. I'm so excited to have met you. And it was reciprocal and mutual and very beautiful. And it felt like the healthiest relationship I've ever been in. Incredibly supportive, transparent. I was very secure in this relationship, where in the times I've dated since my divorce, I've been very anxious. And of course, what's, something that's really trendy right now is talking about, attachment styles, the anxious attachment. So I immediately assumed, automatically assumed that I was just going to be anxious in all relationships. But with him, I was very calm, secure. I've never felt so loved in my entire life. And we were really excited to have found one another. And so we just hit the ground running. We didn't move all that fast. He never met my children. I never met his children. We spent those 5 months getting to know one another, spending what time we could together. And it was beautiful up until the day he broke up. And what devastated me more than anything is because it was a true blindsided breakup. And it was the day before we were going to spend a long weekend together, and absolutely nothing had changed. A lot of times you can sense that somebody's pulling away and there's some warning, or something's happened, or something's wrong in the relationship, or you've been discussing a problem or working through a miscommunication. But we didn't have any of that up until the moment he left. It was so beautiful and felt really healthy to me. And in the middle of my work day, I got a text message from him out of the blue. I got a little notification and I immediately looked at it. It didn't matter that I was at work, because it was just going to be, oh, baby, I love you. I can't believe we're going to be together again tomorrow. I'm counting down the hours. I'm so excited. But it was essentially, I'm going to protect him, the things that he was going through. But it was essentially a text that said, I'm so sorry. I can't do this. I love you. I can't be in a relationship. And I spiraled. When I tell you that I was shattered, talking about it, I get emotional just remembering it. It was, I had an immediate panic attack. I couldn't finish my work day. And we had a couple back and forths over text. I was not in a position to call him. He was in the middle of his work day. We're both busy professionals. Like, there was no moment to just get on the phone. So we had a two, maybe three exchanges over text, and then he just disappeared and stopped responding, and I never heard from him again.
So traumatic.
It's one of the biggest traumas I think I've ever gone through.
Yeah.
And I buried both my parents. I've been divorced.
Yeah.
We don't live this long without going through some stuff. But how this breakup occurred, this unilateral decision made for us both. And then he just disappeared. And it really was like he died. He doesn't have a social media presence at all. And for the weeks following, well, to be honest, not that's a lie. The months following, I would Google his name to make sure there wasn't an obituary. How heartbreaking.
It's interesting. When I first started talking to people, whether through the podcast or the coaching I did, I always felt like I would have some, like, I'm like, anyone can tell me about a blindsided breakup and I'll be able to like see why it happened, or there will be some sort of, I just felt like I could always find some kind of answer. And what I've learned over the years is like sometimes it truly, truly, truly is a blindside. And there was nothing missed or no red flags popping up. It was truly amazing one day and gone the next. And it does feel like the
It
person was
happens.
ripped off the face of the earth.
Yeah. And One of the things that I loved so much about us and in this relationship was we were very honest about the things we had both been through in our lives, and we supported one another through the growth we were currently, going through. Both divorced, both lost, either one or both parents. There are some things in both of our past that were quite traumatic, both of us in therapy. I respected that about him so much, is that we could have this conversation consistently. And so when things were brought up about our past and how they might affect communication in an interpersonal relationship, he was very quick to follow it up with, "But I don't feel that way with you. I feel safe with you. I'm so happy I can share this with you, and I feel your support and your love." So the fact that he was going through something, obviously something was going on, and I really didn't know how it affected me or how it would affect us, was the blindsided part. I felt like we were on such solid ground.
Yeah. So you get this text. What do you do in that moment? You're spiraling, obviously.
I had a panic attack at work, and
Of course.
I'm in broadcasting, and I was at that, and I that message was sent actually like 10 minutes before I had to go on the air,
Whew.
which felt incredibly cruel and callous because he knew my schedule at that point. You just know what your person's doing throughout the day, but he's not a cruel and callous person. There's no rhyme or reason. I can't even question that, to be honest. I got through my day. I had to call in a colleague to help me cover, and it was like my work wife. We all have one.
Yeah.
And she helped me through. And luckily, this was towards the end of the week. But it was, I felt so many emotions. I mean, I was absolutely shattered. I was devastated. But then all these other emotions crept in. I was so ashamed. I didn't tell anybody, any of my friends, for over 24 hours, even though they were the obvious choice for me to go to for support.
Yeah.
And how interesting that I felt ashamed when I didn't cause it, I had no control over it. And then eventually I started telling, my people. And I spiraled for months. It was bad. I started drinking, and I had stopped drinking. I had, a while ago, I was in sobriety. I fell off that wagon, and I've had to give myself a lot of grace and forgiveness for that. And I'm better now. And I
Good.
just allowed it to happen. And I recognized it in the moment of what it was. And I kind of made a pledge to myself that it would be temporary, and it was. I had to take a lot of time off of work. I was so sad. I'm a single mother, and all I could do was focus on my children, get through the day. And that was the best I could do for months. And I found your podcast about maybe not even 48 hours afterwards, because I quickly identified that, oh my God, this is bad.
Yeah.
So I just Googled heartbreak podcast. God bless it. Yours came up. At first, I scrolled through and I found ones that resonated with me, ones that kind of spoke to my specific situation, and I listened to them. And then eventually, I just started from the beginning and just made my way through.
The thing that you said about feeling shame around it is very interesting that. Because that's very common to feel shame for being broken up with. And
Yes.
why is that? Why do we feel shame around being broken up with? We didn't do anything wrong, but I think maybe it feels like we must have done something wrong, or we must have missed something to go through something so traumatic, not realizing it.
Yeah. And I think it just speaks to some very core fears that we all have in common. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of this love. He got really excited about me, then saw who I really was. Or saw something he didn't like, he heard something he didn't like, and suddenly I'm unlovable.
Yeah.
And then there's a part of your brain that says, that's not true. And they fight, they're at odds with one another until you kind of reconcile and get to the point where you can understand that in situations like this, them leaving has nothing to do with you. And you have to just let them go because there's no other choice. And the reasons why they left ultimately do not matter.
Yeah.
What matters is that, and this is awful to say out loud, but it's true. whatever is he is going through, he thought his life would be easier without me in it. So he left. That's awful for me, but it's true. And I deserve a love that stays. And that's pretty much all I can do. That's all you can do.
It's so true. I mean, you hit on like the so many very key points of getting through a breakup that are so much obviously easier said than done. Of at the end of the day, it doesn't matter why the breakup happened. And I mean, thank God you got to that place, because talk about no closure. You're the definition of not getting closure.
Oh, no closure. And when I tell you that I went insane, like I'm saying this like I'm very wise, I went insane for a few months. I kept trying to email him. I would send him text messages. I'm pretty sure I called him on the phone a couple times and hung up. I was desperate for something. But what can you do? And along those lines, I think that it's very important, in relationships where there was no abuse, nobody was unfaithful, nothing was really all that wrong. I think it's so important to believe in the love you had. Like, I wasn't nuts. He loved me so much.
I'm so glad you can feel that, because I think that's can be one of the most like self-inflicted harmful things we can do to ourselves during a breakup, is doubt our experience of the love. And so when something happens so abrupt, and when someone you love is so hurtful to you, as you know he was to you, it's easy to make the assumption of they never cared, they didn't love me. But that's not true. And like what you felt is real. And I don't, there's probably some subconscious thing where people are trying to just make sense of it. And sometimes it's too hard to comprehend that someone who loves you so much could just walk out of your life. And so it's easier to think that the whole thing was a lie. But it's invalidating on multiple levels of saying, okay, you're basically gaslighting yourself into thinking this wasn't real. The love, you know, this the happiest I have felt wasn't real. And I like that you talk about the big, like the going insane part, because it's interesting on just looking from the outside on social media with a lot of stuff breakup related. We see this like kind of glamorized thing of these vlogs of I wake up in the morning and I do my journaling and then I go work out and I go, you know, it's we see this glamorized version of healing. And that's just sure, that might happen months in, but that's not what's happening in the beginning. It is pure survival.
Yeah, it was just survival. It was, yeah. And it was really, really bad. I can't say it enough how bad it was, but we got through it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I know that when I'm navigating a tough chapter in life, my self-care practices tend to go out the window. And unfortunately, I've learned the hard way that a hard time is exactly when I need to make sure I'm sticking to my self-care non-negotiables. Whether it's journaling, reaching out to friends, moving your body, or attending therapy, you deserve to take time for yourself, even when it feels like everything around you is a struggle. I love that therapy allows me to set aside time for me and forces me to focus on what I'm going through and myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. Hormones are the last thing you want to be dealing with as you're going through a breakup, but they can also be hard to ignore, especially during the time of the month. This is why I love recommending Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, which has truly become a phenomenon trusted by over 2.2 million customers, and a bottle is sold every 24 seconds. I started taking Hormone Harmony to help balance my hormones after going through two pregnancies in 2.5 years, and I've continued to take it because it's made such a difference in my PMS with bloating, irritation, anxiety, and all the other not so fun symptoms that tend to pop up. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today. You know, after going through a breakup, your photos need to be replaced and memory lane can feel like a scary place to walk down. But don't forget that you still have so many people in your life who love you and so many memories that don't involve your ex. And Artifact Uprising is here to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. I have been an Artifact Uprising customer for years now, and I love that they have such high quality prints and beautiful books that are great for putting up in my home or giving as gifts. Just recently, I made a photo book with photos of my three boys from this year. But what I also made, which I highly recommend all of you do, is I made a book with photos of just my best girlfriends, which I now have on my coffee table. It's such a great way for me to see all of my favorite memories with the women in my life who are my rocks. So whether you want to put up some new photos with friends and family around your house, or you want to put together a book as a thank you for the people who are holding you up during this tough time, Artifact Uprising is the place to do it. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, Heal Your Heartbreak listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code HEARTBREAK through December 31st. What were some of the things that allowed you to just at least come up for air when you were in that state?
Well, I have a good therapist. Right. Who has been my therapist for a couple of years now. Okay. So she knew the relationship. She was helpful. Go to therapy, everybody.
Yeah, we love therapy here.
I read a lot. I researched. I listened to anybody who resonated with me at all. Any sort of, well, like you, of course. Mel Robbins and her Let Them theory. I kind of clung on to that.
That TikTok came up this morning and I was like, oh, yeah. I had never heard that before. And then that came up this morning and then talking to you about it.
Yes. And it's not easy. The let them, if somebody wants to leave you, you have to let them go. But it's true. You know, as somebody who struggled with alcohol abuse and a really unhealthy relationship, a lot of my research and reading deals with that. And there was actually a mantra. If anybody's ever gone to Al-Anon, they'll recognize it, which is, I didn't cause it. I can't control it. I can't cure it, which I think is absolutely brilliant when you put it, you know, in terms of a breakup like this. Oh, gosh. You know, I'm a creative person and I kind of dove into that. And a few months before he and I met, I started writing poetry. And when he left, I just decided I was going to be one of those people that poured my guts into some poetry. And now I'm actually getting ready to publish my first poetry volume.
Oh my gosh.
God help him if he ever reads it. No, actually, I talk about all, no, I don't speak poorly about him at all. Yeah. It's just all about the love we had and my experience of feeling discarded. And then other things too, like I processed my parents' deaths and my love for my children. And that's been incredibly cathartic.
Congratulations. I feel like heartbreak is pretty good fuel for poetry, but
it sure is.
I love that saying from Al-Anon. I'll never forget the first time someone told me that saying. I've been in and out of Al-Anon for probably 6 years now. And I remember I had a family member who was in the depths of stuff. And I remember I called someone so like self-righteous in all of the things I was going to tell this person and like how I was going to jump into action and save the day, quote unquote. And she said, I want you to get a pen and a paper and I want you to write this down. I didn't cause it. I can't control it and I can't cure it. And that's it. And it's powerful.
It is powerful. And I do feel a release whenever I repeat that to myself. So the breakup was 7 months ago. So we've now not known one another longer than we loved one another, which seems surreal. And, you know, I feel like I've let go and I'm trying to move on, but I feel like they're two different things, letting go and moving on. They feel different to me.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by moving on. I'd say like moving on is a forward, just forward motion, and letting go
Right.
is like the detachment.
Yeah, I feel like I've let go and I'm beginning to move on. Like I opening myself up to possibly dating again, or I feel like I'm in a place where I, could go on a first date and not burst into tears or compare them that much. I'd lie if I were saying I'm never going to compare men to this man. Of course I will.
Honestly, I think it would be a disservice for you not to, because it was beautiful in so many ways. I think it's actually
Yes.
a positive benchmark to have.
Yes. And that's another thing is trying to just remember all the good things I learned from it and my takeaway from it, which is he showed me the love I want and he set a brand new bar. I learned how I feel when I'm in a secure, loving relationship that's completely reciprocal with somebody who worships the ground I walk on. Not going to settle for less, ever again. I also just, what a gift it is that I can love somebody so deeply. Here, I feel like, we talk about shame, but sometimes you can just feel like a fool. Why? How can I have loved somebody so much? 5 months is all. Like, that's ridiculous. Obviously, I'm an idiot. No, not at all. And I think about, here I go getting emotional again, but what a gift it is that I have the capacity to love somebody so deeply that it has taken me 7 months to recover from a 5 month love. So I choose to only celebrate myself having loved him and the love I do continue to feel for him, even now in separation. Yeah. And I'm probably going to continue to cry about it every time I talk about it for a long time, but it doesn't mean that I haven't kind of released it and let it go. Oh, and another thing with these breakups, and you've had whole episodes about this, is like, what if he comes back one day? What on earth would I say? I'm not waiting around. I cannot. I will go out. I will live my life. I will be open for new love. But I do think about that.
I mean, I think everyone thinks about it. That's why when people ask, what if I still have the hope that they're going to come back? And it's a very universal thing. And hope's not a bad thing, as long as, like you said, you're not waiting around for that. Oh my gosh, the amount of times I'm sure we've all had, like, we're in the shower, we're thinking about, okay, what if he calls? I would say this, and then if he said this, I would say this, and we have all these, like, pretend conversations in our mind, I think, as a way of us processing this whole thing. It's, again, it's a lot, it's a lot, a lot, a lot to process.
Yeah, or how many of us are scrolling TikTok and stopping on the tarot card readers who talk about, oh, your love's coming back in the next 48 hours? I'm like, yes. I mean, it happened. I mean, none of us are immune to this romanticized, idealized fantasy that every man who has left us, who we didn't want to leave, one day comes back like a rom-com.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's because the movies have taught us that. And it's so funny because in the beginning when you were talking, I kept thinking of that movie, He's Just Not That Into You, which I remember loving that movie. I think that movie sucks in a lot of ways because
It's kind of toxic.
totally. It's either they come back or it's like, okay, if someone ends it's just because they're not that into you. When no, it's nothing is that simplistic. It's the whole thing of,
No, it isn't.
yeah, I did that whole episode of do exes, like, exes always come back. They don't.
They don't. It's not because they're bad people. There's also this, this toxicity around everything being black and white, and I do have, like, I have some girlfriends who, when I told them that he broke up with me, they were like, oh, well, the trash takes itself out. I was like, don't you dare talk about him like that. He's not trash. I'm not trash. None of us are trash. We're all doing the best we can given our life experience, our circumstance. Who loved us growing up? How were they unable to love us? And the older you get, the more you accumulate. And I'm not even going to call it baggage because it's beautiful. All these things we experience.
It's experiences. It's with, I
We're
mean,
not trash. They
yeah,
work
it's
their
wisdom.
way into our relationships. And a lot of times we have no idea what we aren't capable of until we're standing face to face to it. I fully believe that up until he left, he did not understand that he was not capable of being in a relationship. And I'm not going to call him trash. And I refuse to talk badly about any of my exes, just as I hope that they speak lovingly on me. And I think we just do ourselves such a disservice when we decide that when it comes to breakups, men especially, I think that men get a really bad rap sometimes these days, because society has done them not a great favor here, in terms of therapy, processing their emotions, and things like that. We just do ourselves such a disservice when we think in absolutes. Like, they broke up with me, they're an awful person. Well, no.
No. And honestly, sometimes, I've said this a lot. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do for a person is to let them go because it's just not, for whatever reason, it's just not working. I mean, I don't recommend the texting in the middle of the workday and ending it that way. But, that's like what he in his mind had to do. And I think what's hard is it's just, and I remember this with my last breakup, it's just sometimes it's just really hard to comprehend something just being sad. It's like we have to put a spin on it. We have to put some kind of blessing in disguise on it. We have to put some anger on it. We have to do something. When in reality, it's just sad. And there's not really a fast track way out of sadness. You just have to feel it and let it work through you and survive in the meantime. And it does get less. You're a great example of that. But sometimes just being sad is hard. And I think it's hard for other people to see their friends being just sad. So I think that's why they try to say, oh, the trash took itself out. They try to say things like that to cut through the sadness when there's not really a way to do that.
And two things can be true. They can be really wrong in how they treated you. The way he left and how he treated me when he left and that he disappeared off the face of the earth, that was wrong. He treated me poorly. But that can also exist alongside he loved me. He didn't know what to do in that situation. He did the best he could. It's just sad, everything about it. And then my reaction, my spiraling, my, over emotional emails sent to him at 11 o'clock at night, didn't do me any favors, but that's okay. I had to let him go, and there are things I had to say to forgive myself for those too.
This is the weirdest thing that keeps coming to mind when we're talking about this. Maybe because I just listened to too much Dateline podcasts, but in a lot of ways, a breakup is a death. And I've talked to enough experts to see physiologically, it's very similar. Like we go through the exact same thing. And, I'm thinking of these Dateline episodes that I've listened to where a loved one of someone who died was killed. They go on the war path of like doing all of like knocking down doors, doing all these things to like get answers. Except when it's in the framework of a breakup, it's like considered quote unquote crazy, but it's just a way of dealing with stuff. I don't know. I just feel like there needs to be a lot more grace given. And I'm glad you were able to give yourself the grace, but I think in general, a lot of grace needs to be given in ways that people work through heartbreak.
And you're spot on. And this, I tell my friends this, when I talk about my breakup, God bless my friends who still listen. I say, I've had to grieve him as if he died because he disappeared. He died. He is gone suddenly without warning. It's as if he died. And I feel like my grief was on par with that, happening. It felt very real. It was just, like you said, so sad. Yeah, but we're doing okay. And if he ever comes back, I don't know. I wish I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. It's like I hope he heals. That's all I can say. I love you. I hope you heal. I have to move on, And that's that.
And I think it's this again, talking about like this interesting thing where sometimes you would ask people, especially when they feel a little bit further down the road, if your ex came back and wanted to talk to you, wanted to be like, what would you say? And I think people believe the right thing to say is, oh, I would never reply. I wouldn't answer. When in reality, most of us would at least hear what they wanted to say, So there's this thing that, okay, we're supposed to put off this certain energy with it. We should be mad at them. We should see them as trash. We should not entertain if they try to, you know, text us or whatever that looks like. When in reality, it's not that simple. It's just not that simple.
No, not at all. Gosh. No.
And I want to circle all the way back to the beginning about the relationship being 5 months. There is a very specific reason why I will never, ever, ever give someone a timeline on what it looks like to heal. Because more often than not, I see people come out of decade plus long relationships. And not to say they're fine, but it's different. And then I cannot tell you. And I think it's actually very common after a long-term relationship, then you move into something mm-hmm. else. And that one just fucking rocks your world. It just rocks yes. your world. And that's the thing. Relationships depend on, or relationships and healing from breakups depend on so many things. Like you said, this was the time where you pulled back the stuff and looked at the loss of your parent. Like, there's just so many things that get intertwined with a breakup that it's going to take some people a long time. And that's okay. There's like no timeline of, oh, if you don't get over it by this amount of time. It's not Sex and the City where it's you take half of the relationship and that's how long it's going to take you to get over the breakup. It's not a thing that was made up for a TV show.
Right. Not a thing at all. And it's so spot on. I was married for 17 years. And when our marriage ended, we were both ready for it to end. We had discovered every single facet of one another and lived through every single trauma and knew each other inside and out. So we had time to figure out and both decide we can't be this for one another anymore. It took 17 years to get to that point for us to both be fine with leaving. 5 months is nothing at all. And you're just, the tip of the iceberg. And you mourn your future. You mourn the past, but you mourn the future that you had started to envision in your mind and the possibilities and all the things that were spoken about and maybe promised. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the balance that you give. I wish I could bless everyone with this. The balance of it's hard, we're just surviving, and also the insights that you've come to over the time. My last question that I like to end with is, if you could go back to the day you got the text, maybe the day after, the day you got the text was bonkers, but if you could go back to that version of you and say something from your future self, is there anything that you would like to say to her?
Oh gosh, that's a really good question. And I'm thinking about what I could have possibly said to myself that day to help me through it a bit better. I mean, I probably would have encouraged me to, don't stop and buy a bottle of wine, honey. I probably would have reminded myself that that was a poor choice. But I don't know if there's anything I could have said to make any difference. I just had to live through it and be absolutely broken. I mean, it broke me into a million pieces. And nothing, I think, could have saved me from that. So
maybe just seeing that in 7 months, you're still standing upright is maybe that would be enough.
Yes, I would tell myself, honey, 7 months from now, you're doing okay. You're thinking about dating again. You're flirting with somebody who you met on Tinder. Your life is not over.
You're on a podcast about heartbreak.
You're sharing your story. You wrote a lot of poetry. You painted some paintings. Yeah.
I love that.
I guess, yeah, you're right. That's what I would remind myself of. In 7 months from now, going to cry most days, but it's still, you're going to be a lot better.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. I know for a fact this is going to help a lot of people who listen to this. So forever grateful that you that people are willing to come on and share. It's still like my favorite interview to do.
I think it's so healing to tell our stories in a community of people who understand. And I know your podcast is for everybody. I love the idea that women especially are listening.
Still 85% women.
I mean, hearing other people's stories helps me, certainly. And telling my own story is helpful.
Yeah.
Because I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy.
Nope.
We're just complex, messy, loving humans who just want to be loved, like forever and ever.
Yeah,
That's
which
it. That's
is
it.
literally built into our DNA. So it's not our fault.
Sorry, we were made this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Caitlin. This has been really impactful talking to you. So thanks again.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.